status of the world and the concept of Maya. If the fundamental form of supreme is nirguna, qualityless, achintya, inconceivable, the world is an appearance which cannot be logically related to the absolute. In the unalterable eternity of Brahma, all that moves and evolves is founded. By it they exist, they cannot be without it. Though it causes nothing, does nothing, determines nothing. While the world is dependent on Brahma, the latter is not dependent on the world. This one-sided dependence and the logical inconceivability of the relation between the ultimate reality and the world are brought out by the word Maya. The world is not essential being like Brahma, nor is it mere non-being. It cannot be defined as either being or non-being. The sudden discovery, though religious experience of the ultimate reality of spirit inclines us sometimes to look upon the world as an illusion rather than as a misapprehension or a misconstruction. Maya does not imply that the world is an illusion or is not existent absolutely. It is a delimitation distinct from the unmeasured and the immeasurable. But why is there this delimitation? The question cannot be answered so long as we are at the empirical level. In every religion, the supreme reality is conceived as the infinity above our time order, with its being and end, its moments and fluctuations. God in the Christian religion is represented as without variableness or shadow of tuning. He dwells in the eternal now, seeing the end from the beginning. If this were all, there would be an absolute division between the divine life and this pluralistic world, which would make all communication between the two impossible. If the supreme reality were unique, passive, and immobile, there would be no room for time, for moment, for history. Time, with its process of change and succession, would become a mere appearance. But God is a living principle, a consuming fire. It is not a question of either an absolute with an apparent multiplicity or a living God working in this pluralistic universe. The supreme is both this and that. Eternity does not mean the denial of time or of history. It is the transfiguration of time. Time derives from eternity and finds fulfillment in it. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is no antithesis between eternity and time. Though the figure of Krishna, the unity between the eternal and the historical, is indicted, the temporal movement is related to the inmost depth of eternity. The spirit which transcends all dualities, when looked at from the cosmic and become sundered into the transcendental subject facing the transcendental object. Subject and object are two poles of one reality. They are not unrelated. The principle of objectivity, mula prakriti, the manifested avyakta, potentiality of all existence, is of the very nature of the creative logos, Ishvara. The eternal I confronts the pseudo-eternal not-I, Narayana, broods over the waters. As the not-I prakriti is a reflection of the self, it is subordinate to the self. When the element of negation is introduced into the absolute, its inwardness is unfolded in the process of becoming. The original unity becomes pregnant with the whole course of the world. Cosmic process is the interaction between the true principles of being and non-being. God is the upper limit with the least affection by and complete control of non-being and matter of Prakriti is the lower limit with the least affection by being. The whole cosmic process is the Supreme God working on Prakriti, which is conceived as a positive entity because it has the power of resistance. The resistance form, it is evil. Only in God is the compatibility completely penetrated. Let me repeat that. Only in God is it completely penetrated and overcome. In the rest of the created world, it is there in some degree or other obscuring the light. The Gita does not uphold a metaphysical dualism, for the principle of non-being is dependent on being. Non-being is a necessary movement in reality of the unfolding of the Supreme. If the world is what it is because of the tension. The world of time and change is ever striving to reach perfection. Non-being, which is responsible for the imperfections, is a necessary element in the world, for it is material in which the ideas of God are actualized. The divine form, Purusa, and matter, Prakriti, belong to one spiritual whole. When the whole world is delivered from bondage, when it is lifted into incorruption, when it becomes completely illuminated, the purpose of the Supreme is realized, and the world is restored to its origin in pure being, above all distinctions. Why is there non-being? Why is there the fall of the precipitation from absolute being to becoming? This is to ask why there the world with its perpetual strife between being and non-being, absolute being, the one Godhead, is behind and beyond the world and in the world. He is also the supreme living God, loving the world and redeeming it by his grace. Why is the world what it is with its graduated hierarchy? We can only say it is nature of Supreme to express itself in this way. We cannot account for the fact of the world, but can only construct its nature, which is the strife between being and non-being in the process of becoming. Pure being is above the world and pure non-being is below the lowest existence. If we go lower still, we have nothing. It is absolute non-entity. In the world of true becoming, samsara, we have the conflict between the two principles of being and non-being. The first product of the interaction is the cosmic egg, Brahmanda, which includes within itself the totality of manifested being. All later developments are contained within it in a germinal form. It contains the past, the present, and the future in a supreme now. Arjuna sees the whole Vishvarupa world form in one vast shape. He sees the form of the divine bursting the very bounds of existence, filling the whole sky and the universe, worlds coursing through it like cataracts. Those who look upon the Supreme as impersonal and relationless regard the conception of Ishvara with his power of self-manifestation as a result of ignorance, avidya, the power of thought that produces from which are transient and therefore unreal compared with the eternal reality. This power of producing appearance is called avidya. But avidya is not something particular to this or that individual. It is said to be the power of self-manifestation possessed by the Supreme. The Lord says that though he is reality, is birthless, he comes to birth by his own power. Maya is derived from the root ma, to form, to build, and originally meant the capacity to produce form, the creative power by which God fashions the universe, is called Yoga Maya. There is no suggestion that the form that events and the objects produced by Maya or the form-building power of God, the Mayan, are only illusory. Maya is sometimes said to be the source of delusion, moha, deluded by those their threefold modes of nature. Guna, this whole world does not recognize me. Who am above them and imperishable? Though the force of Maya, we have a bewildering partial consciousness which loses sight of the reality and lives in the world of phenomena. God's real being is veiled by the play of Prakriti and its mode. The world is said to be deceptive because God hides himself behind his creation. The world is not a deception but the occasion for it. We must shatter all forms, get behind the veil to find the reality. The world and its changes constitute the self-concealment of God. Triodhana, or obscuring of the Creator by his own creation. Man is inclined to turn towards the object of the world instead of directing his mind to the Creator. God seems to be the great deceiver as he creates the world, and he senses objects and turns our senses outward. The proneness to self-deception lies in the desire for the things of sense, which actually leads man away from God. The glamour of the world casts its spell on us, and we become slaves to its prizes. The world or objectivized nature or samsara is fallen, enslaved, alienated, and it is full of suffering, and alienation from inward being is suffering. When it is said that the divine Maya of mind is hard to overcome, it means that we cannot easily pierce behind the universe and its activities. We may hear distinguished and different senses in which the word Maya is used and indicted its place in the Gita. If the supreme reality is unaffected by the events of the world, then the rise of these events become an inexplicable mystery. The author of the Gita does not use the term Maya in this sense. However much it may be implied in his views. The conception of being beginningless and at the same time unreal, avidya causing the appearance of the world, does not enter the mind of the author. The personal Ishvara is said to combine with himself Sat and Asat, the immutability of Brahma as well as the mutation of becoming. Maya is the power which enables him to produce mutual nature. It is Shakti, or the energy of Ishvara, the Atma Bhivati, the power of self-becoming. Ishvara and Maya in this sense are mutually dependent and beingless, beginningless. This power of the Supreme is called Maya in the Gita. Since the Lord is able to produce the universe by means of the two elements of his being, Prakriti and Purusha, matter and consciousness, they are said to be Maya, higher and lower of God. Gradually Maya comes to mean the lower Prakriti, since Purusha is said to be the seed which the Lord casts into the womb of Prakriti for generation of the universe. As the manifested world hides the real form, the vision of mortals, it is said to be delusive in character. The world is not an illusion, though by regarding it as a mere mechanical determination of nature unrelated to God, we fail to perceive its divine essence. It then becomes a source of delusion. The divine Maya becomes avidya Maya. It is so, however, only for us mortals shut off from the truth to God, who knows all and controls it. It is vidya Maya. God seems to be enveloped in the immense cloak of Maya. Since the world is only an effect of God, who is the cause, and since everywhere the cause is more real than the effect, the world as effect is said to be less real than God the cause. The relative unreality of the world is confirmed by the self-contradictory nature of the process of becoming. There is struggle of opposites in the world of experience, and the real is above all opposites.